They're checking cherubim pots by torchlight down the daily. Charter boys are tying paternosters at Cullen Bay. Tinnies are being towed to target on the Arnhem Highway. Over in Gove, they're rigging up teasers for the big boys. There's an air of anxious optimism at harbourside boat ramps in the pre-dawn gloom. And in the suburbs, Smith.
Nah, he's not here.
Moore.
Nah, gone too.
Fagion?
Present and accounted for.
Well, get out of bed and get on with it.
Hey, let's go. Finally, I've got my hand on the tiller.
Tales from the Tinny with Mario, Clancy, Fagion.
Good morning. Welcome aboard the virtual vessel that is Tales from the Tinny. Tim and Rob are away again. Forget about that.
And then, soon, he caught his second barramundi. It's 103-centimeter barramundi at East Point again.
That's a familiar voice. Hiro Nakamura, well-known land-based barramundi fisherman in Darwin. He's been at it during the dry season and he's taken a new friend fishing. And he's caught 103-centimeter bar at East Point. But there's a secret as to how he did it and Hiro knows. We'll find that out later.
I thought I'll take bait and I'll try this rig out I saw on the Down South boys have been using. And it was in the first 5 minutes, I got whacked.
Darwin kayak fisher Aaron Geyer. Just switching it up, been doing a bit of research on the internet, found a new rig, first 5 minutes, bang. He also went on to get some more fish over the next couple of days out of his kayak.
Time for the tides.
Saturday, 25th of July, the three tide day. Good morning to George Musa. He sent us a message through about 2 o'clock this morning. He said he's out near Mandora and it's flat. He said the weather's looking really good, but he's getting smashed by dew and huge goldies. And I think he's still on the water, so we'll hopefully try and get a hold of him and see what he's been up to. Back to the tides, 25th of July, three tide day. At about 5:30 this morning, so about half an hour ago, there was a 3.3-metre low. And then at about 11:20 will be the high tide of 5.38, so not much movement. Dropping down to a 2.6-metre low at about 6:30 this evening and tomorrow. At about 6:40 in the morning, there's going to be a 3.6-metre low going up to a 5-metre high, even smaller movement. That high tide's going to be at about 12:15. And then just after 7:30 tomorrow night will be a 2.6-metre low. Neat tides, 105.7 ABC Darwin. It's 6:09. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully, we're going to try and catch up with Warren DeWitt, who's in Canada. Right now, this is Powderfinger, My Happiness.
I see your shadow on the street now. I hear you push through the rusty gate. Pick up your heels on the concrete. Waiting for an uncommon way too late. It seems an age since I've seen ya. Countdown as the weeks trickle into days. So you come in and put your bags down. I know there's something in the air. Do this to you right now.
Powderfinger, My Happiness on 105.7 ABC Darwin. This is Tales from the Tinny. You're with Mario. 1300 Mullet is our hotline. That's 1300-685-538. And right now, we go live to Canada. Please come in, Warren DeWitt.
Morning, Mario.
How are you and where are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. I'm in paradise at the moment. I'm in Canada, up in the Rockies, on the Old Man River, fishing for trout, both rainbow trout, cutthroat trout, and bull trout.
What would possess a man from Catherine to be in the Rocky Mountains?
My son, Brendan, lives over in Canada, here in Calgary now, so they are up here camping with his girlfriend's parents and a heap of friends, and they come up here every year to go fishing in the streams and that up here in summer over here, which is what it is at the moment. So all the rivers and that are running fairly shallow and clear, and there's no snow, but you're walking around with just a T-shirt on. The weather's absolutely magnificent, and you're just fishing either with a fly rod or a spin rod. And I went fishing for the first time. We got here on Wednesday, and we went fishing yesterday and for the first time in the afternoon. And I brought over a couple of lures that I thought might work from Australia, which were those killer lure pack rats, which are only about a 45mm lure, and they all sort of scoffed at them and said, no, you won't catch any trout on them. And I caught the biggest trout yesterday, which was 50 centimetres or 20 inches. If you get one over 20 inches here in Canada, they put you up in the holy grail of fishermen.
Of course you did, Warren. And what's your technique? How did you use those lures?
Well, you're just feeding for them, just like you do for black brim and so forth, back in the freshwater holes in Catherine or any of the rivers upstream in that freshwater area. So you're just basically looking for those deeper pools. And what trout do, obviously, is they look and rise when they see any kind of hatchlings coming through or any kind of bait on the water. They come up to them. Well, during the daytime, they sort of sit a bit lower. So I decided to use that spinning outfit with that little bit of deep diving killer lure on it, and it was getting down to the depth where the trout were sitting, and I must have landed 25 trout yesterday with all the different ones. Bull trout, we actually, Caitlin got one on yesterday, a little cutthroat trout, and a big bull trout came up and ate the little cutthroat trout, then hooked up on the lure with the big bull trout, and it was about 2 foot long. It was a massive trout. Anyway, it went down into the rapids, and with us all scrambling trying to jump on its back and catch it, it actually snapped the line and got away. So we ended up losing it, but it was a heck of a good trout. Actually, it was well over 2 foot long.
I can only imagine the sight of all of you scrambling across those Rocky Mountain streams trying to jump on a bull trout.
Well, it's what he did here in Catherine or back in Darwin, like, because we're yelling and screaming and carrying on so much, you were having that big of a good time. Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful country. You couldn't ask for any more picturesque kind of place that you'd ever want to go fishing in, and walking along the stream and be able to just point fish to all these different trout that you can see, and it's just crystal clear water, absolutely beautiful. And it's not that cold either, actually. You would think the water would be really cold, because I actually accidentally fell in the water yesterday and sort of dunked myself, so that was a bit of excitement for everyone to have a bit of a laugh at me because I'm up to my chest in water.
Can you describe the landscape there?
Yeah, it's a typical Rocky Mountaineer with big pine trees, big mountains, a stream that's shallow and rocky and running through rapids and then dropping into a deep pool at either end of the rapids, and you just fish that bottom end of the pool and work your lure through there or your fly, depending on what method you're fishing with. But obviously the purists use flies over here, and the rest of us use spinning rods if you're not into fly fishing, which seems to work just as well. But it's a beautiful country, mate. It's absolutely fantastic.
Brendan, your son, is a fisherman we used to catch up with quite a bit on Tales from the Tinny. He's a well-known barra fisherman in the Northern Territory. He hasn't caught a barra for a number of years now. How's he going over there?
Yeah, he's going pretty good. He's a bit upset that I actually come over here in on the first day, got one bigger than he's ever landed in 2 years he's been over here. So that sort of put him back in his place a little bit. So that was good fun, though. I got Trent here, my other son. We both flew over to surprise Brendan because he's 30. He's getting old, so we thought we better come over and see him before he sort of gets too old to get out of his wheelchair to go fishing. So I'm glad we did. We're sort of teaching him a little bit, keeping him in line and making him sort of learn the ways of the territory style of fishing, which is you catch him at whatever length or whatever way you can.
Warren, Let's see if you can give us some recommendations for fishing in the Northern Territory all the way from Canada. We've got neap tides this weekend. The forecast is looking at about 10 to 15 knots. What do you reckon?
Well, if it's not too windy, definitely offshore and coastal areas and all those bigger rivers, again, with that neap water, you're going to get it nice and clear, which is the key to the most of that successful trolling that you do for a barra. It depends on the water temperature, but definitely coastal areas and offshore. If you can get offshore and chase mackerel and that, obviously around Dundee and those good areas where you've got plenty of bait schools working at the moment would be the ideal thing to try.
Warren, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us while fishing in Canada.
Have you seen me photos I sent through to you, Mario? You need to put them up on Facebook?
I shouldn't say we because I'm completely solo this morning. I have seen them, and when I get a moment spare and I'm not having to do a radio show, I'll definitely post them up on the Tales from the Tinny Facebook page. It looks amazing, Warren. Thank you so much.
Good on you, pal. See you, mate.
Talk to you when you get back. Travel safe. That's Warren DeWitt. He's usually from Catherine Rod and Rifle Tackle World. And Catherine? But he's now in the Rocky Mountains catching trout with his two sons, Brendan and Trent. This is Winterbourne. Tales from the Tinny.
Steady my bones, leave my heart a stone. I'm glad to be numbed. Oh, but the sun and the warmth in her eyes let the world decide for something to follow, something to find.
Winterbourne, Steady My Bones, 105.7 ABC Darwin. It's 24 past 6.
You're listening to Tales from the Tinny. Get a mother up, yeah.
G'day, my name's Aaron from Lee Point. I'm a kayak fisher. Recently, due to the weather, it's been pretty cold, down to 18 degrees, and with my favourite tides, instead of going for speed trolling with the lures, I thought I'd swap over and give another rig a chance. I was getting a bit tired of trying to troll for max at fast-paced speeds in a kayak, so I swapped my rig for a pro rig.
So when you say you're trolling at fast-paced, how fast can you actually get when you're having to pedal in your kayak?
Now, in the yak, I've measured in my GPS, not by knots, by kilometres, 6 cruising and 9 pumping.
And how long can you pump for?
I'll go for an hour and then my back starts getting sore.
So you found a new rig which has allowed you to take a little bit easy.
Yeah, I've been learning from the internet what kayak fishers do down south, and I thought, well, if it works down south on the same sort of species like Spaniards, why wouldn't it work in the NT? And the rig it is, that we all call it the pro rig or the commercially rig that's been used for years and years, which is the fake squid skirt and the gang pilly.
And how's it been going?
What I did was on the Friday, I had two baits. I don't normally take bait out. I'm usually a lure fisherman, but I found myself becoming a bit of a lure snob, and I didn't like that because a good fisher, I think, tries to think of all sorts of ways to capture that fish. And if you've got tunnel vision, you keep yourself narrow-minded. So I thought I'll take bait and I'll try this rig out I saw on the Down South boys have been using. And what I did, I started stick baiting early in the morning with throwing out a stick bait, and we got a couple of queen fish, and I thought, oh, well, it's mackerel season, what am I doing? So I swapped to the bait, and it was in the first 5 minutes I got whacked, and I saw the narrow barred come up near the kayak, and that was it. I was sold.
What kind of tides do you prefer to chase pelagics in the kayak along the foreshore?
When I used to go on my tinny, I thought Spaniards and tuna were like a neap tide fish because tuna like clear water, and we did catch quite a few Spaniards on the neaps in the boat, like at 6 mile, but I find that just for certain reasons, not even for fish, but for myself, I like going on the spring tides because you don't have to walk too far to the water. So that's one big plus. instead of a 5-minute walk to the beach, you know, on low tide, you could spend half a kilometre to find the water before you've even entered it. So the weekend just gone with springs. They weren't huge, so around the 7-metre. They worked, and I just went to my usual haunt at East Point, just the usual troll where I'd get queenfish and trevally, but this time I use the commercial rig with the gang pilly and squid.
What's the stats in terms of, like, how many fish and what size they are out there?
Oh, the first one was like a bit of a taster. So I had the queenfish on the lure, the stick bait, and then I had my two baits. I caught the one spaniard. He was about, I can't remember what he was about 80. And what happened after the last few days, they kept getting bigger. But I started 80, and then I got hit again, but I lost that one, just the speed of it that hit. In the meantime, it's been like, I'm learning, do I have to go fast or slow? Does my drag need to be tight? The biggest factor I learned was when I do get the hit, I have to keep pumping forward. As a kayak fisher, you got to keep punching forward, because if you stop, usually a lot of people will drop the fish. With the mentality, you got to keep pumping. And as the day has gone, I went Saturday. Oh, this was all before work too. I was worked the whole weekend. And the beauty of it was I worked 10:30 Friday, 9:30 Saturday, and then midday Sunday. And each of these sessions were like between an hour and a half to two hours. And each of those Saturday, I got two max around the 90. And that was a very quick session because I had to get out of work at 9:30. And then on the Sunday, I had to start at 12, and I spent more time out there. And I got a bigger one, which was 110 to the tip, and another one around the meter mark.
So you're saying previously when you were trolling with lures, you had to pump really hard and you'd pump up to 9 kilometres an hour. What speed are you travelling when you're trolling this pro rig?
I just tested out right at the crack of dawn, which is my favourite, before that sun's even poked its head up. I just kind of relaxed and tightened my drag up, and I'd say barely 3 or 4K. I don't know noughts with my GPS, but it's barely 3K and just chilling, like, just making sure that the lure's not actually on the bottom, but keeping an eye on my depth sounder. And it didn't take long, especially that time of day, before it would get hit.
And you're saying that when the fish strikes or the fish hits, it's important that kayak fishermen have to keep pumping and going forward. So you're saying you don't touch the rod at all, you just go faster in your kayak.
The beauty of my kayak is it's my rod is in my right hand. I've always loved my kayak is it's hands-free. And the beauty of it is I love the hit. Like, I love to catch fish and, like, land the fish, but the hit is why I get up in the early in the morning. The hit is why I'm there freezing on a dry season morning. It's because I want to feel that hit. I don't want to be robbed of that rod holder. I want to feel that whack, and that is better. The only second thing better is when you actually get it in the kayak.
Tales from the Tinny on ABC Local Radio.
6:30, 105.7 ABC Darwin. You're with Mario. Marcus is at the bureau this morning. Mark, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Mario.
How's the weather looking for the weekend?
Well, wind-wise, there's not much out there around this side of the top end. There's still a little bit blowing off the north coast and out over the northern Gulf of Carpentaria waters, but not about 15 to 20 maximum out that way. But over on this side of the top end, we've still got pretty light winds. We've even been getting sort of afternoon sea breezes up to around 10 to 15 knots at the most. It will hang around for another day, or today be quite light, and then tomorrow we'll start to see the easterlies pick up just a little bit, but a bigger high comes in on Monday and really causes the winds to freshen across coastal waters throughout, and even here we'll expect the winds to get up to around 15 to 20 knots in the morning at least. So next couple of days, pretty good conditions, Mario, but then picking up during the week.
And how long do you expect that wind to continue when the high arrives on Monday?
A few days. It looks like it moves through fairly steadily, so winds will start to ease off a bit later in the week, but it's going to give us a couple, or well, 2 or 3 days. The actual really dry air probably arrives Tuesday, and that's when it peaks, but winds will still be pretty fresh Monday morning. Tuesday probably the strongest, Wednesday still fairly strong, and then starting to taper off a little bit, but it is a big high and it's only moving fairly slowly, so it's going to hang around for a few days during the week.
And what can Territorians expect in terms of temperatures over the next couple of days?
Well, it's a little bit warmer overnight up here in the top end with the lighter winds. for the weekend at least. We're talking about overnight temperatures at Darwin, for example, being around 20, which is a bit warmer than what we've been used to. And down the track as well, Catherine, overnight temperatures getting down to only about 17, whereas they were getting down towards 10 or even less a few days ago. So far this morning, we've gotten down to 17 at Catherine, 17.5, and only 22 or 20 actually. It's just gotten to lately at the airport, and Catherine or Tyndall's gotten down to 16. So temperatures just warming up a little bit overnight. Daytime temperatures also a little bit warmer, but that dry and cooler air comes in, as I mentioned, early in the week, and that'll bump our temperatures back down and give us some another lot of nice dry season conditions. Probably best from Tuesday onwards. Down south, it's been much cooler there after fairly hot spell or warm spell, but it cooled down yesterday, and there's even quite a bit of cloud and a bit of patchy rain around the area, mainly in the far southwest. And those conditions will remain this weekend, mainly around Yallara and that part. But Alice Springs will be see a fair bit of cloud and even the chance of some light rain there. But most of the activity will remain to the south. That clears up very early on Monday, so then it's blue skies pretty much throughout from Tuesday.
Mark, as always, thank you very much for your time and your information.
No worries. Thanks, Mario.
That's Mark Kersimakis at the Bureau of Meteorology. This is 105.7 ABC Darwin. Jones Jr. with Perfume.
Tales from the Tinny. Poo Tube, Face Ache, Stream and Pod. Confused? Don't worry, Dal. You'll work it out.
1300 Mullet is the number. That's 1300-685-538. Out on the harbour this morning. Right now, he's heading back. He's been out all night. He's heading back from Mandurah. Is George Moosa. George, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
I'm very well. Run me through how your overnight fishing trip in the harbour's been.
Yeah, excellent. Got out on the water for the tide at midnight. Been glass all night, just heading in now. Did really well. We've got our bag limit for gold and dewies and a couple of other big species, but no, we did really well.
George, you can't really ask for anything more than that.
Oh, no, honestly, I reckon I've used $5 in fuel, and it's just been great.
And how did you go about getting that bag of dew and gold?
Just hitting some of the spots that, what you can't normally fish. You got to wait for the deep tides when they let them run coming out of the harbour. That's sort of 30 metre, 35 is what the deepest I hit during the night.
It's just a little bit hard to understand there. If you can just move your phone a little bit while you're on the plane. I know it's a bit difficult to try and talk on the radio while you're on the plane heading home, but...
You can't get hooked for using the phone in your boat, can you?
I don't think so. So you're fishing spots that don't normally get fished, and is there any trick in terms of your rig or your bait?
No, just using the old sausage roll, squid and pilchard. But you can make bottom. Like on neeps, you can get to the bottom, whereas normally with the tides, you've got no hope of getting the bait down there.
So just use your sounder, look for the fish. Once you find the fish, just anchoring is the key, and then sending the baits down. But the biggest goldie went 68 centimetres, which for the harbour is pretty impressive. I do say so myself.
That is a very good goldie. And how about the jewfish?
Well, I haven't measured the bigger ones. I'm guessing they're all around the average size of Darwin, maybe a metre, metre five, something like that. But I'll take some photos when I'm back in later and I'll post them up on the page for you.
That'd be great, yeah. Post them up on the ABC Tales and the Tinny Facebook page. And what part of the tide worked for you overnight?
Just the change. I waited for the turn of the tide. It was just after midnight. And it's actually just turned again now, but we've bagged out, so obviously, you know, we've been on the water for, I suppose, 7 hours, got in just before midnight, and we're now heading in now, so, yeah, as soon as it turns, they come on the bite.
Is there a particular reason that you fish overnight?
Yeah, get out of the wind at this time of year. It makes it more comfortable, it's nice and cool, less boat traffic, and, yeah, we're out there, like I said, since about midnight or just before, and we were the only boat fishing. So it's like having the whole, you know, all of that area to yourself. It's great.
It's a three-tide day today and then maybe even smaller movement tomorrow. How do you feel about doing some blue water fishing over the next 2 days?
With the real small movements, I find you can get fish. You just have to work a lot harder for them. Move around a lot, you might pick up one or two and then the bite will go off. So it's just a matter of, well, when you're in deeper water, so you can fish on these smaller tides, but it gets a bit tiresome. I don't have an auto winch. I've been saying for years I'm going to buy one. But, you know, yanking the pit gets a bit tiring, but you can get fish. It's just a matter of working for them, moving around a lot and using your sounder. If you find bait balls, etc., and looks like there's a bit of life on the bottom, well, send the bait down and, you know, give it 10 or 15 minutes. And if nothing, I normally just pull the pick and move.
George, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us while you're out in the harbour.
No worries, mate. All the best. And, I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, have fun filleting those fish.
No worries, mate. Cheers.
That's George Musa, live from Darwin Harbour. He's just heading home. He's been out overnight fishing, got his bag of jewfish, got his bag of goldies. Happy days.
Fairy lights, like the stars. You could be lost, but here you are. It's Halloween on the street. You came looking for me. I'm sealed in tight through the double glass. Come inside. Your mask. All the zombies in town.
Neil Finn, Dizzy Heights, 6:45, 105.7 ABC Darwin. Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. You're with Mario. Usually you'd be listening to Timothy and Robert. They're away. Forget about it.
Hello, I'm Hiro. I met an able Japanese young fisherman recently. He enjoyed black bass fishing in Japan, but he had never caught any barramundi in his life. 30th of June, he caught his first barramundi, 60 centimeter at the East Point, and then soon he caught his second barramundi. It's 103 centimeter barramundi at East Point again.
And this is fishing with you, Hiro?
Yeah. And so he always using small 78 millimeter sized suspended minnow, black gold color, a shiny one. He also uses not expensive fishing gear, very cheap one, maybe totally less than $150. But every time he caught barramundi,
You've been fishing the foreshore land-based for barramundi for many years now.
Yeah.
To see a metre-plus barra get caught this time of year, what does that mean?
So, several times I went fishing with him. So I studied how to fish. I'm learning his fishing style. So I found one secret. In dry season, in our cold water, suspended type minnow is very effective. Normally, I don't use any suspended minnow because my land-based fishing locations are all very shallow water, and so many rocks under the water, it's very hard to control suspended minnow. But he uses suspended minnow for my fishing location. So he tried very deep water last time. He cast his suspended minnow, then he counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 until 8 seconds. He caught 70-cent barramundi. That means in our cold water season, barramundi prefer to stay a bit deeper.
How has this changed your fishing style after learning from him?
I haven't caught any barramundi with suspended minnow yet, but I caught some nice-sized cod and other fishes with using suspended minnow also.
We've got smaller tides this weekend.
Yeah, and it's good, very good today, tomorrow, especially the beginning of incoming tide. Very nice for barramundi, for the land-based fishing. Today, we are going to somewhere near here. But to tell you the truth, I want to go fishing to the Channel Island today, but there it's a different situation. Outgoing tide better.
And it's a big trip for Hiro Nakamura on his 50cc scooter, isn't it?
No, I bought 150cc one.
When did you do that?
Probably months ago. Of course, bank loan. I'm not rich fisherman, but Gambo is very able mechanic. He remodeled, customized my new scooter. He put very nice fishing holder and some other equipment on my scooter.
And what happened to the old 50cc scooter?
Still, I'm using old one too. It's very convenient in Darwin City.
Hiro, thank you very much for talking to me.
You are welcome.
Tales from the Tinny on ABC Local Radio.
10 to 7, 105.7 ABC Darwin. You're with Mario. Tales from the Tinny is very accessible. It's a 21st century radio program. We have a Facebook page, ABC Tales from the Tinny. Scott Days hit us this morning, 6:30. He said there's a Big Mac still on the chew. Last few days, white off Dundee, most around 10 to 18 kilos. Also, Ryan Taylor sent us in some pics of tuna in the harbour. It's all happening. Prince, Raspberry Beret, it's 6 minutes to 7, 105.7 ABC Darwin. Tales from the Tinny, you're with Mario.
Huh?
Come on,
I'm getting there.
That's the third round of snooze. Will you get out of there? You'll be late for work again.
Ah, bugger work. I'm sick of work.
Oh, come on, get
Quite
up.
Work. Oh, ridiculous having to get up this early. The human body just isn't designed for functioning at this hour. It's not right. You should be sleeping here.
What are you doing?
Nothing. Let's go back to sleep.
What time is it?
True.
What?
It's 2 a.m.
Oh, you're joking.
Yeah, I know. But I couldn't sleep, so I thought, I'll get down there now. I won't be able to put the boat in for a couple of hours, but I thought if I'm down there now, well before daylight, be able to get the boat ready, be first in the queue, you know, for when the water comes in. So,
it's
ridiculous.
Oh,
look, just don't worry, love. Just go back to sleep. Fish for tea. Hey.
Yeah, right.
Time is relative. Tales from the Tinny. Tales from the Tinny. Live stream, podcast, and the ABC app. Get on board.
1300 Mullet, 1300 685 538 is our hotline. It's legit. On the line right now is Casey McAvoy, a.k.a. Sick Tits, who formerly was a Darwin fisherman, is now a Kakadu fisherman, just moved to Jabiru. Sick Tits, how are you this morning?
Yeah, very well. Thank you, Mario. How are you?
I'm good. How's the move out to Kakadu been for you?
Yeah, no, pretty good. Been out here just over, or probably just on a month now, and family's all settled, so happy days.
Yeah, we saw some great photos. You took your young daughter, Stella, out to the East Alligator, and she got her first barra. It looked amazing.
Yeah, probably second little trip in the boat now. The first one, she was a little bit younger, a little bit of a corroboree adventure, but yeah, no, pretty good out here. I cast a little lure out for her into a snag and let it sink and hook the rod into her life jacket and watched her reel it in, and it just got hit just beside the boat, so I had to hang onto the jacket. It was just only a little fella, but she was pretty excited.
Very proud moment for Dad.
As was Dad, yeah, very, very excited. And a tourist boat there right behind us watched the whole thing, so good times.
Big tides last weekend. What did you do?
Me and a mate from out here, we just... I got a leave pass signed from the missus and ventured off down to Mouth to South on Wednesday lunchtime-ish. Had a brief little encounter with a sandbar on the way down, as you do on the south in the dry season.
As you do, say hello to the sandbars.
Say hello, yeah, just a little touch and, quick jump out, push off, and we're on our way. And then moseyed on down between the islands. Or not really too much besides a few caddies here and there. Just before sunrise or just before sunset, we...
How do you feel about catfish? I mean, they're very... they've got a bad reputation, I'll put it that way, amongst territory fishermen. How do you feel about catching them?
Not overly excited, but... I guess make use of what you get. I don't mind using catfish for bait, actually. So
really,
just whack a tail or whack a little fillet off if it's a good size, or if it's a little small catfish, and whack a fillet off and then take the tail off it as well. And what? Then I find that usually a pretty good goldie bait.
Yeah, nice. Is that what you ended up doing?
I did. Yep. So we kept a couple, just throwing the esky for bait, and then ventured off. A little bit wider. We had some pretty good conditions, so it was a bit of a glass off once, sort of just on sunset. So we went a little bit wider and threw the caddy tail on, and first drop got hit pretty well. Fought it most of the way up, but lost it sort of mid water, and then checked the bait, then a redrop, and hooked up to that 78. So good goldie for me, high five and all around, and a few hugs and whatnot in the boat with me mate. So. Yeah, very, very good start of a 15-minute session.
And how did the rest of the trip pan out? And sorry to do this to you, we've only got about a minute left before the news coming.
Yeah, good. So, 15-minute session, we got our bag limit pretty quick. and still I kept that caddy tail on the whole time and probably, you know, probably caught about 7 or 8 goldies on it. So all various sizes. The biggest one there was a 78. The rest were all sort of, yeah, 30-40 pan size. So come home with a nice esky.
Sick Tits, thank you very much for chatting to me this morning.
No worries. Talk to you later.
That's Sick Tits from Kakadu. Had a great trip down the south. This has been Tales from the Tinny. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you if you contributed. We appreciate it. You'll be able to get the podcast on the ABC Radio app, or you can also get it at abc.net.au/tinny.